This is the news, according to me. Of course, Happy New Year to everyone. Thank you for joining me this morning. And I say me because it's only me. I'm the only one who was brave enough to drive through the ice-covered roads to get here this morning. Rabbi Rick will not be with us. I don't know what to say. The show just isn't the same without him. But, yes, good morning, and hope you all had a good night last night. I hope you have an optimistic view of the year ahead. Maybe you've had a bad year. Maybe 2020 was a bad year. Maybe you lost someone during this year. That's never easy. Even in the best of years, that can be hard. But we have this year to look forward to, and we have a very interesting time in the next week to look forward to. History in the making. This is the kind of thing that isn't just going to go by. This next week is going to be one of many firsts, probably. Hard to tell. Every day seems to be a day of firsts in this country. However, there's nothing new under the sun. We all know that. The basic bottom line is there's nothing. Things just kind of cycle back around again. They just look different each time, but they're the same things. So I started that off on a real happy note. So yeah, usually it's just me and Rick sitting here. We're just laughing at each other because we look at each other and we laugh. That's just what happens. But that's not happening this morning. So I want to jump right into this. Just a quick show this morning. I know most of you are probably, struggling to wake up after being up after midnight last night. And parts of the country probably aren't even awake yet. Or maybe they're still counting votes. I don't know. Who knows what's going on out there? But lots of interesting things in the news. A couple things I want to cover. A couple of real hot topics. Not hot pockets. Those are different. Not hot pocket. They're very nutritious. Not that. But the couple of interesting things are happening. And I got some opinions on some things. Believe it or not, I have some opinions on some things in the news. I'm going to share them with you this morning. So, I guess along with that, you've got certain individuals who care as well.
What difference at this point does it make?
Well, that's true. Yeah. She doesn't care. But the only opinion that really matters.
And Corn Pop was a bad dude.
Well, he was a bad dude. I don't know who Corn Pop was, but he was a bad dude, apparently. So we have some news. I'm just going to jump right into it. Even though I said I was going to jump into it before and I didn't. So I'm going to jump into it now. There are more and more reps now in the House that are jumping in on. There was over 140 last night, and I heard there were 15 more tonight. I assume that means there's 155. But it's the notes that I've read so far say that there could be over 180. So I'm not sure how that math works out. But there's must be like counting Biden votes. So apparently we're pushing. By Wednesday, this could be up to 200 easily. However, there's some interesting things going on with this, and I get it, but I don't get it. There's two things here I want to discuss. One is you've got Mitch McConnell, who is apparently putting pressure on Josh Hawley, and he wanted him to join I guess it was a conference call of some kind. I'm not sure on the details on this because it was very kind of vague, and I'm not sure. It's basically hearsay, so I want to be careful about this because I'm always about the facts. And I really want this show to be about is to be a show about the news, about the people who, report the news, not so much about the news itself, but how it's being reported. So that's one of my issues is how news is Pravda, the way they spin things and the way they do things to create a narrative or to make it look like, that they'll dress something up. They'll say, you know, former felon so-and-so. You know, they'll say that before they say the person's name, they introduce him as formerly discredited, you know, whatever, a formerly debunked theory. They always dress it up with their spin first before they say whatever they're going to talk about. They do that a lot in how they're going to play it. And, of course, all the news outlets will do the same thing at the same time. So that's what I want to discuss most of the time. But this is such a heavy news cycle that things are coming out so quickly that I think it's more important to talk about the country and what's going on. That's just, you know, kind of my opinion on it. Well, what do you think, Rick? Yeah. Apparently, Rick's not here. I keep forgetting Rick's not here. So, yes, so we have this stuff going on that's just out of control and crazy, in my opinion. I don't know. Okay, here's what's happening. So we have Mitch McConnell doing that kind of thing, and he's really trying to push back on anybody trying to do anything with rejecting the Electoral College. He's even trying to move to change the rules. Now, this is what's weird. Apparently, Mitch McConnell,
the turtle. I know Joe Biden. We worked together in the Senate. I think we can change the rules on this. We don't have to worry about this kind of stuff.
He's trying to change the rules with Schumer and Pelosi to change the rules so that they don't have to worry about anyone objecting to the electors. That's my understanding of what's going on here. Now, maybe there's misinformation, disinformation, whatever it is, but I tell you what, Mitch McConnell is really showing himself to be an enemy of the Republic, in my opinion, and what he's been doing. Because this is not the way to handle things. And here's my opinion on him putting pressure on any senator. The senators don't work for Mitch. They work for we the people. We send representatives. From Indiana, we have two. From every state, you have two. They don't represent Mitch, and Mitch isn't their boss. He is in an administrative role that should be considered a servant to the Senate, not an overlord and a boss and a bully to the other senators. And that's exactly what he's doing. He's trying to use the power of his purse strings, which he has, you know, he has a tremendous amount of power with regard to campaign finance, as well as the power he has to place people on committees and to bring, like when somebody brings a bill up, he can decide whether or not it's going to see any time on the floor. So any of those things, he can basically really push people around with that kind of power. And that, in my opinion, that's an abuse of power. Because he's not just abusing those people he has a problem with. He's abusing everybody that person represents. And now he's talking about abusing me. If he says something about my senator or doesn't allow my senator. Now, my senators are completely quiet as well. They're just about as quiet as Rick is this morning here at the show. I put a picture of Rick over here by the other microphone just so I can look over once in a while. And, you know, I don't feel so alone. Once in a while, it's just, you know, these people show their hand once in a while, and this is one of those moments where Mitch, I think, is kind of showing who he really is and what he really believes about the country and his position. Now, I know one thing. If Senator Hawley stays in office, and I think he will, I'm pretty sure he'll be revoted in, especially after what he's doing. And I think that one thing's for sure, he's a lot younger than Mitch, and he's probably going to outlive Mitch. And he might even be Speaker of the House someday. Not Speaker of the House, Majority Leader in the Senate. So that could happen. Wouldn't that be ironic, Mitch? I don't know. I don't think Mitch is going to last another term, that's for sure. Mitch is going to have to talk about retirement because he's getting up there. But he's definitely a part of the swamp. He's definitely got all the back channels to China and all the other countries and all the stuff that's going on. We've all found that out in the last, you know, 6 months about what's going on with Mitch. That's really, really come to light. So he's got these back deals going on where he's, and now they're trying to basically tell the judge to reject Gohmert's case. Gohmert's case about this whole 1887 issue with the, it's more of a ceremonial duty, supposedly right now, that Pence has, but they're trying to reject that 1887 decision, which is kind of unconstitutional. That decision was kind of it was kind of done because there were swamp rats back then as well, trying to limit the vice president's power. And so he's trying to get rid of that. And here's what bothers me about this. In fact, the House, even Pence has tried to put pressure on the judge to reject it, which is, that's weird. That's just weird. I'm not sure. I just think Pence doesn't want to have the responsibility and wants to be able to blame. Well, like, it's procedurally not, but coming out to say that he wants that power rejected, or that to be overturned, I'd like to hear what his reasoning is on that. But that causes concern for me. Now, I don't think he may not have to. It may not come down to that, because there are some other things I want to talk about in a little bit that have to do with this. But here's what's bothering me about this. If I file a lawsuit against somebody, that should be between me and them and that judge. If someone tries to influence the judge or the jury in that case, who is not a part of that case and outside the court, without being formally presented as evidence, they are manipulating or coercing the court. Talk about messing with a jury or a judge. You pressure a judge with your personal opinion to change the outcome of a case, to be accepted or rejected, or to change the outcome of that case. You're tampering with, in my opinion, that's a very sacred thing in our country. When you file a lawsuit, nobody should have the right to come in and pressure that judge to throw it out. It should be seen on its own merit. If the judge has any guts at all, sees the law as something that's to be upheld above our feelings and above our thoughts and what we think about it. And that's what, I think that's at the bottom line, at the core of this issue, that's what really bothers me about this whole thing. It's not so much that they are requesting it, is that could potentially have an effect. And that even the thought of doing that, telling the judge, because you're in a place of power, to bully a judge into making a decision, that's sickening, in my opinion. That should be between Louis Gohmert and the judge. That's his lawsuit. He should be able to file it. It should be seen on its own without any outside influence, especially from people who consider themselves, powerful people. That's just, in my opinion, that's bullying. It's just in its worst form. So that's my opinion on that issue. Now, here's the other thing that's going on in this whole thing. The state legislature of Pennsylvania has written a letter to Congress requesting that they consider rejecting the electors that they sent, because they have no confidence that their election was valid. Now, if you look at this constitutionally, in my opinion, this is just all my opinion. I'm not a lawyer. This is just a guy in a rubber room giving his opinions. Let me get that disclaimer in there. So the thing about that is, the Constitution very clearly says it is the state legislatures that have the authority over their electors. They're the ones who certify the election and do the whole thing. They are really responsible for the election law and election rules in their states. We don't have one big election in this country. We have 50 state elections. And the state legislatures in each state are responsible for that. So what we end up having here is we have a situation where now the state legislature is coming in and saying, we have no confidence that the certified electors that we sent are actually, that we now have evidence, and they do have evidence now, They've been presented with evidence in these hearings that are causing them to go, oh no, what has just happened here? And this was just in Pennsylvania. Now, the last 2 days, I think it was Wednesday and Thursday. I believe it was Wednesday and Thursday. Today's Friday? I don't know. It seems like the weekend because of the New Year's Eve thing. New Year's party, New Year's Day, whatever. Doesn't seem like Friday. Let's just put it that way. But it is, and it's 2021, which means it's not 2020 anymore. But hey, guess what? We have a new vaccine this year. It's new. It's new and improved. And it's out there. And it's coming to get you. Because it's COVID 2, the return of COVID. That's right. Yes, it's there. It's there somewhere. I don't know. I digress. Kind of got sidetracked there for a second. Sorry. So what's going on in the Pennsylvania state thing is interesting because they're requesting that they're now. There's a couple different ways that can go. We'll get onto that again a little bit later. But here's what's going on in Georgia. In Georgia, they were having hearings. A man by the name, well, his last name is Pulitzer. I can't remember his first name. Jovan, I think it's Jovan Pulitzer. The guy is a genius. He is absolutely, and I say that he's literally a genius. He I think he has 126 patents or something to his name, at least, or something like that. Some over 100 patents, mostly involving technology and QR codes and scanning technology. He basically is the guy who invented the barcode. I think a barcode or the QR code, maybe both. I don't know. Not only, and here's where the genius of this guy is. He's not just smart. He's not just a person who like is really smart. He's a person who can explain those things pretty well in layman speak. Now, it takes a real expert and a real knowledgeable, intelligent person to have not only IQ, but also to have some EQ. And he was able to actually lay out, I know that the state legislatures in Georgia were struggling to keep up with him because he was shooting a lot of information out of a fire hose. But he basically was explaining what was going on with the ballots and how he could do this whole thing. He could get 500,000 ballots and he could, within 2 hours, tell you how many of them were legitimate ballots and how many weren't. Because he can tell whether or not the papers have been folded, whether or not they've been printed by machines, whether or not they're copies or not. Because of the pressure and the ink on the paper, he has sensors the sensors can check those things and know right away whether they're valid ballots or not. And so he's explaining all this to them. They ended up ruling that, yes, he can do a forensic audit on Monday. I think it was on Monday, or maybe it's tomorrow. It was right away that when they granted permission that he can do a forensic audit on 500,000 ballots, guess what shows up at the storage facility where the ballots are? Guess what shows up? Not one. No, ladies and gentlemen, not just one. You get two shredding trucks. And they start shredding ballots and carting them off in less than 4 hours after the ruling was made. Now, you tell me whether or not you have any confidence that there's something correct about the election in Georgia. I have no confidence that Georgia's election was done right. Why wouldn't you be putting them out for everybody to see and saying, let's get this over with once and for all. We have nothing to hide. It's all right here. The little show they did down at the University of Georgia, where they took 15,000 hand-picked ballots, took them down to the college and had them signature verified and only found two. They only found two that did what they couldn't verify. Only two. There were millions of ballots, by the way. To take 15,000, who knows where they were from? Where there was like, was that like 100 from each county or something? I don't know. Or I guess it'd be 1,000 from each county, whatever. There's, I don't know how many counties there are in Georgia, probably a million. I don't know. I have 15. I don't know whatever there is down there. 60 some counties, probably. So this is the kind of stuff you can't, you know, you could put it in a book. You could write a fictional book and you wouldn't believe it. Be so far-fetched, you wouldn't even believe it. and it's happening right before our eyes. And here's the crime in that, is that the media, the legacy media that's out there, is not covering any of this. And if anybody does cover it, they are maligned and belittled, and they talk about them as if they're lying, and, oh, they don't know what they're saying. Oh, the election's over. Nothing to see here. Move along. This is 1984 George Orwell, all wrapped up into what we're seeing in before our very eyes. It is absolutely disgusting, in my opinion, what's happening in front of us. And what's most disgusting is that you've got a governor who's lying about it. You got a secretary of state who's swearing to his lies. You've got the election officials, the head of the election board of elections down there is right on lockstep with them, doing the same thing. And that's what's the most disgusting about this, is the people that we entrust to guard these things and to uphold their oath of office, and they are absolutely letting us down. And then you have the issue of the phantom votes, which we talked about a little bit yesterday. That's a whole other ball of wax. And it's any one of these issues, any one of these things, the evidence that's coming out, any one of them would flip the entire state, would flip the entire election. Because every state that we're talking about, whether it's Pennsylvania, Georgia, I want to say Atlanta, whether it's Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, or Nevada, and probably a few more states in there that they just haven't really picked on because they just assumed that those probably went blue, which they may not have. Virginia and California are a couple that come to mind. So we have all of this going on, and there is this, you have the Secretary of State, I think it's the Secretary of State or the AG in Michigan, who is threatening a lawsuit against a lawyer who wants to file a lawsuit concerning election fraud in Michigan. This is like a personal vendetta, personally wielding power that doesn't belong. What, I mean, at this point, what difference does it make if somebody wants to file a lawsuit if it's not going to go anywhere?
What difference at this point does it make?
Exactly. Thank you, Hillary, for stepping in there. Because it just blows my mind that they're trying to protect something. They have something to hide. They're not just trying to move it on and try to get past this, because if they wanted to move it on and get past this, they would just open it up and say, here it is, look at it, let's go, let's get this over with. That's not what's happening. They are doubling down on the cover-up of this thing. Just blows my mind. So we're coming up on the 6th. Now, here's how I think this may play out. This is a whole different way of doing this. But here's what I think may happen. It may not even come down to Mike Pence. If the constitutional power of the state legislatures, now Pennsylvania stepped up and said, don't count our electors. If Georgia ends up stepping up and saying that, and then if you have Arizona state say that, Pence is below 270. It wouldn't take a switching of the competing electors or the alternate electors. All it would take is to pull those out and bring Joe below 270. Now, all of a sudden, you have a state vote. And we have 28 Republican states that probably all would, maybe not all of them, most of them would vote Trump. Probably. If it comes down to that, they may not. But it could end up being 26-24. Who knows? Or it could be 25-25. Then I don't know who steps in to make the decision. Probably Pence at that point. I don't know what's going to happen. So it's a crazy, crazy thing that's going on. There's so much posturing. And I knew that somehow Mitch had something going on in the background because he was being very quiet. Now all of a sudden he's starting to come out with the rumblings of what he's going to do. Now, who knows what he's actually going to do on the 6th? Maybe they're going to have, he's going to pull out some rule or make some kind of rule change at the very, very last minute. Maybe he's got enough guys that he's talking to that he's going to try to get. And of course, now this whole phone call thing with Hawley, Hawley didn't get on the call. He basically thumbed his nose at him. Good for him. Don't even, he's not your boss. Don't work for him. He's representing the people. He's doing what he knows to be best. He's got his head on straight. He's got his eyes open and wide, and he's not ignoring the problem. If at this point you don't see that there is a major election issue here, you are choosing to stick your head in the sand. And funny, when you put your head in the sand, you make an interesting target. But the 6th is coming up. Now, what might end up happening? And I think this has a very good possibility of happening. And it will be wild. First of all, you got 10 million people outside. They've got to hear the run. This is like a true Jericho moment. You've got to be able to hear 10 million people. I really think there's going to be the largest crowd ever on the lawn, on the mall. It's going to be the whole town. It's going to be the whole, D.C. is going to be flooded. I don't think you're going to be able to get into D.C. It's going to be locked down. I mean, traffic-wise. There are a lot of people going. And with the caravans that are getting started now, that are organizing and think people that are going, that's going to increase the motivation for people to go. I think you're going to see a lot of people there, and I wish they would go on the 5th. I'm sure a lot of people will show up on the 5th and be there for the 2 days, because then once they get inside and in their little cocoon, the little tunnels that they walk around in from building to building that go underneath the Capitol because they never have to go outside. Once they get in their little cocoon in there and they don't, you know, it's one thing to hear about millions of people outside. It's another thing to have to walk through them or to see them. Has a much bigger effect on a person. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I think that between now and then, with some of the things that are coming out in the hearings that are happening, if they can't get it into court, the hearings are having, and that's really where the power is, in my opinion. The court decisions at this point aren't going to make that much difference. The Supreme Court could have made a difference. They could have done something that would have made a difference. They've shown their hand now, and I think that they've ruled themselves to be irrelevant from now on. If that's the way they're going to act, if they're not going to do their job, then don't do your job. They're starting to play politics, and that's not the position that the Supreme Court should have at all. So you have more issues with ballots as well. There's people that have now found just the audits that they've done on the ballots in Nevada. The one lawyer has done an incredible job. In Nevada, basically has disqualified huge numbers of ballots in Nevada. And that in and of itself as well would swing that state, just in the information that he has, the official numbers from the registry. And we're talking official registry numbers here. We're not talking just made up guesses. And then you have, the Georgia hearings, you have the phantom ballots, you have the issues with, the ballots under the table that were pulled out, all that stuff that's happened. Those people who were in that room on video, by the way, have lawyered up. They came out and apologized, they didn't apologize. They said, I've asked God for forgiveness, and then they went and got their lawyer, and they're not talking to anybody. Now, the other question in this whole thing is, where is the DOJ? Where's the FBI? Where are the agencies that we depend on to even do a cursory investigation of this? When they say that they haven't seen any evidence that would affect the election, if I close my eyes and my ears and I just walk around going, I'm not going to hear or see anything either. I mean, you can't sit down for an hour, just 1 hour, and listen to the highlights and the main points of some of these hearings, the witnesses at these hearings, and not realize there is something we need to look into here. And just like Rick was saying yesterday, you can't you can't have all these different election facilities shutting down at almost the same time, the same hour, almost all planning it without somebody knowing in the background what's going on. And this Eric Comer guy, who was on record saying that he was going to see to it that Biden won. So lots of stuff. The pressure is really on in this situation. And in the midst of it, of course, they're also saying that, oh, there's a new strain out there now. I guess it's been found in Colorado, Florida, one other state, can't remember where it is. I think it was, I believe it was California, but maybe it was Colorado, Florida, and someplace else. But they found a couple cases of this thing. And the guy in Florida, he doesn't travel, didn't go anywhere. So it's out there, definitely. And I think, again, here we are. If they have to have a separate strain or a separate kind of test for the second strain, I don't know how they're doing that. I don't know how they're determining which one is which. Apparently, there's a way to test for that. I don't know that the rapid test would tell you. I would think they would have to. I don't know. Who knows how that's happening? I don't know what the science is on that one. But I'm not sure science has anything to do with anything anymore. Just whatever they feel like they need to do to, you know, keep you in your house with your mask on. So, yes. It's an interesting time we live in. It's going to be an interesting year, and I think we're kicking it off with the first week is going to be really interesting. Really interesting. So that's all I've got for today, first day of the year. I want to thank everybody for watching, subscribing, and especially those of you who are sharing this. If you're listening to this, I really appreciate it if you can share this podcast with others. If you're on Parler, echo it. If you're on YouTube, you know, you can post it on there. You can share it on Facebook, that kind of thing. Really, really helps us out because we're trying to build up the channel at this point, and that really helps us out. It's ad-free. It's commercial-free. There's no edits. It's just raw, live, recorded, but it's recorded live. There's no edits in this thing, obviously. Otherwise, I'd be editing about half of it out. Rick might be back possibly tomorrow if we do a weekend show. Maybe Rick will be Rabbi Rick will be in the studio here, but possibly the next couple of weeks we're probably going to have two shows a day, one in the morning, kind of giving a rundown of what to expect for the day, and then a summary in the afternoon, which we're on Eastern time here, so it'll be probably the podcast by the time it all gets processed and posted, it'll probably be about, you know, the 5 to 6 o'clock hour, possibly 7 o'clock hour of the day here on the East Coast. So late afternoon, mid afternoon to late afternoon, wherever you are. If you're on the West Coast, it'll be mid afternoon, mid to late afternoon. And we'll kind of give a summary of what's going on. So we'll keep the things rolling here, especially with this kind of a news cycle and everything that's going on. It's, you know, we got to. About every, you know, few hours, major things happening. So we'll see what happens today. Probably going to be a slow news day today, I would think. However, there's all kinds of things happening with the election and things that are ramping up. You know, President Trump came back a couple days early from his vacation in Mar-a-Lago. I know he was supposed to be down there for a few more days, and he came back. Pence has canceled his trip that was supposed to be planned for. Now, whether or not that was a good thing or bad thing, I don't know. There's also some other things happening in D.C. and around the country that seem to say that something is really, you know, ramping up here for this thing on the 6th. In the meantime, you know, if it's something you're asking about, what's something you can do, you can certainly pray. So we need to pray for our nation, pray for our leaders, pray for this country, pray for justice. Interesting little, here's a little bit of trivia for you. The flag, our nation's flag, it has 7 red stripes, 6 white stripes. The red represents the blood of patriots. White represents the purity that we strive for. I'm kind of summarizing some of this. Blue, the stars, of course, represent the states, 50 stars. The blue represents justice. So as we wave those flags, as we run up the polls here in the next week, let's make sure the blue part of our flag is remembered for why it's there, what the color is for. We really are in need of blind justice and true courage to execute justice in this nation right now, because it seems like there's just no political will for that right now in very many people. There are a few, God bless them, and we'll see what happens. Just keep this nation moving forward into the new year. And regardless of who our president is, we know who our God is. And he's not going to abandon us in the middle of this. So just keep that in mind, that he's not leaving us, abandoning us, or unaware or surprised by the actions or things that are happening on the earth right now. So he's still on the throne. Prayer still changes things. And we have this blessed assurance and hope. So once again, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of the show. And again, subscribe, share, whatever you can do to, send money, send checks, you know, whatever you want to do, make them out to me, because this is the news according to me, because Rick isn't here today. So I guess it's all about me today. Thanks again. Happy New Year.